Do you feel like life has become a wilderness, that everything is barren, everything is dry, everything is dead, and there's no oasis in sight, there's no relief in sight? What are you going to do? Oh, beloved, listen, God is in the wilderness. He's right there with you. And you're not going to remain in the wilderness if you will simply cling to His hand and walk according to His precepts for life. Treasure we have in the Word of God. These are God's precepts for life. These are God's precepts that take us right through the wilderness and bring us out on the other side. We're going to see that as we continue our study in 1 Samuel and as we look at David, who now is in the wilderness and who is being pursued by Saul. God has taken David and encouraged him. God has encouraged him by sending Jonathan to him. And as Jonathan came to David, Jonathan assured his friend in verse 17, "Do not be afraid because of the hand of my father Saul." He says, don't be afraid. And what I'm telling you today is you're in the wilderness and God has sent this program and I'm sure others to encourage you and say, do not be afraid. Now he's saying to David, do not be afraid because the hand of Saul, my father, will not find you and you will be king over Israel. There is a future for you. There is hope for you. And I want you to persevere. I want you to know that through the scriptures, you can find encouragement. Through the scriptures, you can find hope. So let's see the lessons that we can learn. The examples, as I talked about in our last program, the examples that God has for us in this blessed Old Testament that will help you and me and others get through the wilderness. Because if you're not in a wilderness right now, I guarantee you there's someone in your life that is, and you're finding God's answers. You're finding God's precepts for life here in the Word of God. So it says, I will be next to you. You will be king over Israel, and I will be next to you. Isn't that wonderful? Here is going to be David, and here Jonathan thinks he's going to be sitting next to him. He doesn't mind that David is king. He's just going to be next to him. He's going to be the next in power. He's going to be the next in authority. And so it says, and Saul, my father, knows that also. Saul knows this. So the two of them made a covenant before the Lord. What did they do? They cut a covenant. You know what made a covenant means by listening to the program now. And if this is your first time, then go to our website, preceptsforlife.com. That's preceptsforlife.com, and download the study guide. Because even though we're already in 1 Samuel 24, you are going to learn so much and you'll have all that background material so that you can study God's Word on your own. That's what this program is about, discovering truth for yourself so that you know that you know that you know so that you can stand firm. Well, watch. He makes a covenant. Make, karath means cut, a covenant, bereath, and he makes a covenant before the Lord. You say, well, what is he making a covenant about now? Well, you know, it's a little hard to discern unless the covenant is, okay, David, you're going to be on the throne and I'm going to be next to you. I'm going to be the next in power. So that's all I can conclude from this. And because when you go to 1 Samuel chapter 18, you find them making a covenant and Jonathan making that covenant with David and giving him his his sword, his bow, his belt, his robe, saying, okay, I'm one with you. We're in this together. What happens to you happens to me. Your enemies are my enemies, and I'm going to be right there beside you. We know that he made another covenant in 1 Samuel chapter 20, and that covenant was not only between them, but it was between their houses, so that whatever happened, or if anything happened to Jonathan, David, by covenant, was obligated to take care of any of Jonathan's seed, any of Jonathan's descendants, and the same for Jonathan, protecting David's seed. So all I can assume right now is, okay, this is the covenant. You're going to be king, and I'm going to be beside you. And David says, that's right. And we will cut a covenant on that. We will pass through the pieces. And this is my bond to you. This is my word to you. So the two of them made a covenant before the Lord, verse 18, and David stayed at Horesh while Jonathan went to his house. Now in 1 Samuel chapter 24, remember in verse 14, we have David in the wilderness, in the strongholds of the wilderness. And the strongholds were those caves where he could find security. And we find God delivering him from Saul, who was continually pursuing him. And yet Saul has been unable to find David because God has delivered him. And we wrote that in the margin next to verse 14. All right, now in verse 19, next to verse 17, this is what I want you to write in the margin, and you're going to appreciate it later. All right, David will be king. Now, what is God doing? Here is David in the wilderness, and here is David being pursued by Saul. Here's God delivering him, but David needs a word of encouragement. And so the word of encouragement is, this wilderness is not going to last forever, David. You will be king. And I want you to know, beloved, that the wilderness of this life that you're in right now that seems so barren will not last forever. You will rule. You will become a kingdom of priests with God. Let me just give you a hint and a picture of that by taking you to Revelation chapter 1. And in Revelation chapter 1, he's talking about this revelation that has come from God the Father, verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood. And he has made us to be a kingdom, priest to his God and Father. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He has made us to be a kingdom. Will you come over to Revelation? And you look at Revelation chapter 5, and this is what you see. They're singing a song in heaven, and they're singing the song to Jesus, and it says, worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals. Now, the book and the seals have to do with the final judgments on the earth before Jesus Christ comes to rule as king. And he says, for you were slain, and you purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You know, wherever you are listening to these words from the Word of God, whatever nation you're in, whether you're in China, whether you're in Indonesia, whether you're in Australia, whether you're in Holland, whether you are in Romania, wherever you are on the face of this earth, God has people from every tribe and every tongue and every people and every nation. You, Jesus, have made them to be a kingdom and priest to our God. And listen to this, and they will reign on the earth. David is going to reign, and you and I, beloved, are going to reign also. We're going to reign on the earth. The wilderness is not going to last forever. Persevere, as we saw in our last program. Well, verse 19, then the Ziphites came up to Saul at Gibeah, saying, is David not hiding with us in the strongholds at Horesh, or on the hill of Hakilah, which is on the south of Jezmon? Now then, O king, come down according to all the desire of your soul to do so. And our part will be to surrender him into the king's hand. Listen, we'll go get him. You come on down and we'll give him to you. We know where your enemy David is. And Saul said, may you be blessed of the Lord, for you have had compassion on me. You know what? These men are helping a man that is under the judgment of God. And they think that they are doing right. They think, you know, hey, David's in the wilderness. David's being pursued. He couldn't possibly be a man of God or have the blessing of God on him. That's how you feel, isn't it, sometimes when you're in the wilderness? You feel like God has forsaken you, that God has not blessed you. You have friends like Job's friends that are saying, you know, this is because of what you have done. This is because, this is because, this is because. And God is taking you through the wilderness because he has a purpose for your life. God is taking you through the wilderness. Now listen carefully. God is taking you through the wilderness to prepare you to rule and to reign on the face of this earth. Don't waste your sorrows. Persevere in the wilderness and don't give up. And so he says, so Saul says, go now and make more sure and investigate and see this place where his haunt is and who has seen him there. For I am told that he is very, very cunning. So look and learn about the hiding places where he hides himself and return to me with certainty, and I will go out with you. And if he's in the land, I will search him out among all the thousands of Judah. I want you to know I am the king. I want you to know you're going to help me find him. And I want you to know if he's in that land, we will go through all the thousands of Judah and we will follow him. We will find him. We will get him. Blessed be you of the Lord is what he has said. And then they arose and they went to Ziph before Saul. Now remember, you're underlining all these geographical locations because what we're doing is we're following David in the wilderness. We're following Saul as he pursues him. And so he's in this wilderness and we're going to find him in another wilderness and another wilderness. And you think he's never going to get out of that wilderness. And that's the way you feel, isn't it? Listen, David gets out of the wilderness. David becomes king. I'm telling you about what's going to happen in the future because I've read the book. But David doesn't know that. David knows he's supposed to be king. God has told him that. But right now, when you get in the wilderness, you wonder if it will ever come to pass and you wonder if it's a figment of your imagination. And so this is what happens. It says, then they arose and went to Ziph before Saul. Now David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon in the Arabah, the south of Jeshimon. What we're going to do is we're going to leave him there for a minute while you listen to this very important announcement. And when you come back, we'll look at God's precepts for life for taking you out of the wilderness. Welcome to Precept Ministries International. We're at our women's conference and we have been studying Ready Today for what is coming tomorrow. And we have had a great, great time. We have had such incredible, incredible fellowship. But that fellowship has been around the Word of God. Because when you come here, what you do is you open the book. And we take you through a book of the Bible, or we take you through a topic, but you're looking at the Word of God. We have seminars to meet all your needs, but the fellowship that goes on around the tables, the prayer times, the singing, it's awesome. We wish that you were here. Why don't you come and join us at our next women's conference? Sometimes, beloved, when we're in the wilderness, we feel like people are pursuing us and like they're out to just push us deeper and deeper into that wilderness or just bring it into our lives in one way or another, or our hopes and our dreams and our ambitions. And this is what the Ziphites are trying to do. The Ziphites, I have gone to Saul and said, okay, we know where he is. We'll find him. We'll turn him over to you. And Saul says, good, I'll get him. But I want you to know that God is God. Watch God. Watch God. Nobody's going to get you in the wilderness except yourself. Have you got that? Nobody is going to get you in the wilderness except yourself. You're going to be gotten in the wilderness if you don't believe God, if you don't cling to God, if you don't trust God. Watch David trust God and watch God move to deliver David. I love it. You're going to write God's deliverance again in the margin in just a minute. So in verse 25, it says, when Saul and his men went to seek him, they told David, and he came down to the rock and stayed in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard it, he pursued David in the wilderness of Maon. And Saul went on one side of the mountain, and David and his men on the other side of the mountain. I mean, you have seen movies like that, when they're on one side of some obstacle and or one side of the car, and somebody's on the other side of the car, and they're going this way and they're going that way. You've seen it in slapstick comedy, but in real life, it is not slapstick comedy. It is, I mean, they're pursuing him. And so here's Saul and here's David. Which way do they go around the mountain? And it's like David is trapped. And it says, and David was hurrying to get away from Saul, for Saul and his men were surrounding David and his men to seize him. It's like, okay, we know he's on the other side. You go this way, you go that way, and we will get him and we will seize him. And David is hurrying. And can you hear my voice? And can you hear the panic? And can you hear the stress? Yes, you can, can't you? Because that's you. It may not be coming out verbally. It may be an inward panic. It may be an inward scream. But it is there, and it is very, very real. It keeps you awake at night, or you dream about it at night, and you wonder, am I going to get out of this wilderness? Am I going to die in the wilderness? Am I never, ever going to find an oasis in the wilderness? Now watch God. Wait upon God. I love it. Verse 27, I just absolutely love it. It says, but a messenger came to Saul saying, hurry and come, for the Philistines have made a raid on the land. I mean, he's pursuing David. He's about got him. And all of a sudden, a messenger comes and says to Saul, hurry, hurry. The Philistines are making a raid on our land. And what does Saul do? So Saul returned from pursuing David and went to meet the Philistines. Therefore, they called that place the Rock of Escape. I mean, can't you see those men? I mean, can't you see them? Yes, yes, David, 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 David. He did it. He did it. God delivered us. Take that rock. Take this mountain. Let's call it the Rock of Escape. God delivered us. And God did deliver. God did deliver. And you know what? God promises you. Remember, at the beginning of this series of learning about God's deliverance in the wilderness, at the beginning of this series, what did we see? What did we learn? We learned 1 Corinthians 10:13. Have you memorized it yet? That's your assignment. You say, I'm bad at memorizing. Let me tell you what to do. Write it on a 3x5 card and read it out loud 3 times in the morning, 3 times at noon, and when you eat. Just do it every time you eat. Keep it wherever you need to keep it for when you're going to eat. 3 times in the morning out loud. Read it 3 times at lunch out loud. Read it 3 times at dinner out loud. And pretty soon you will be able to quote the verse. Because when you say something out loud and when you repeat it 3 times and then repeat it 3 times during a day, eventually it's yours. Even if you have trouble memorizing, you're going to remember it because you're going to hear it. Okay? And then you can also, in a sense, visualize what that verse is saying. When I taught my boys scriptures when we were growing up, I'd act them out. And I'd act them out so that when they'd hesitate, then, you know, I would be there with my shenanigans or my charades, and they could watch it, and then it would click. So do that. Now, if you're going to act it out, do it in private. I mean, watch where you are. They'll think that you're crazy. All right. So 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, there is no temptation, there is no trial, there is no test taken you, but such as is common to man. God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted, tried, or tested above what you are able to bear. But with that temptation, He will make a way of escape. Well, that's what He did for David. He made a way of escape. Do you know what He did? The sovereign ruler of all the universe stirred up the Philistines and started the Philistines towards Saul's people so that David could escape. God is able to move heaven and earth to take care of you, beloved. And if you're in the wilderness, then God is there in the wilderness with you. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. In other words, you're going to supply, you're going to take care of. Who wrote that psalm? I think it was David. I think it's Psalm 23, and I think it's the shepherd's psalm, and it's a word to God's sheep. So listen to it carefully. So in the margin of verse 27 now, you need to put your triangle again, and then I put apostrophe S, because the triangle's my symbol for God, God's deliverance. All right, it says, so Saul returned from pursuing David, and they went, and he went to meet the Philistines. Therefore, term of conclusion, they called that place the Rock of Escape. And David went up from there and stayed in the strongholds of En-Gedi. En-Gedi is beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. But once again, it is a wilderness. I mean, you can see the mountain goats up there. You can see the azels. You can see the little conies running around. They're kind of like a big rat that's cute. and he's running around in that dirt and looking at you and stuff like that. And you're not afraid of him because he's cute. But anyway, that's where he was. He's not left the wilderness, but God has not left him. And you are still in the wilderness, but God has not left you. Don't think that God has abandoned you. Remember, if you're His child, it says in Hebrews chapter 13, for He has said, I will never, 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 three negatives in the Greek, leave you, nor never, two more, that's five, forsake you, so that you can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man will do unto me. Well, in chapter 24, it says, now when Saul returned from pursuing the Philistines, he was told, saying, behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel and went to seek David and his men in the front of the rocks of the wild goats. 3,000 men are coming against David, searching him out in the wilderness, and all David has is 600, about 600 right now. What's going to happen? Well, I will tell you, we will look at it in the next program, but I want you to know and I want you to understand that though there seems to be no let up in the wilderness, God is there, and you're going to see another exciting story in the next program, and it'll be a precept for life for you. What, beloved, is God's precept for life for you today? What I want to do is I want to give you a very practical exercise for you to do. Then you can decide whether you want to do it or not. But when we come to 1 Samuel and we come to chapter 24, what you're going to see is when David is in the cave, he writes two psalms. He writes Psalm 57 and he writes Psalm 142. And what I would like to suggest that you do is that you read Psalm 57 and Psalm 142 and look at those psalms. Look at what David talks to God about in those psalms. Look at what's on his heart as he's in this cave in the wilderness. And then what I would suggest that you do is tonight, before you go to bed, to quiet your heart, to turn off the television, to have no noise, to get alone, and to write a short psalm to God. Write a letter to God, or write a poem to God, and tell God what it's like in the wilderness. And then tell God what you remember about Him that can take you through this wilderness time, that can enable you, precious one, to endure. And I want you to know, and I want you to understand, that He is taking you through the trial because you are precious in His sight. Daniel, the prophet, goes through many, many trials. And do you know what God calls Daniel? He says, "Oh, precious one." It's translated, "O man of high esteem." But literally, the Hebrew word means, "You are precious." And what I want you to understand is that so many times when we're in the wilderness, we think that God has abandoned us. We think that God doesn't care about us. We think that there's something wrong with us. God is making you like Jesus. Let Him have that time. Let Him do that work. Let Him accomplish this purpose for the wilderness. But know the whole time, and I wish I could do it to you. I wish I could reach right through and catch you by the face and just pat your face and hold your face and just tell you, you are precious to God. Remember that. That's your precept for today. You are highly esteemed. God would not work with you and refine you in this way if you were not precious to Him, if you were not highly esteemed. And so you are highly esteemed. Now sit down and write that psalm to God in the wilderness.
Thank you for watching today. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more precepts for life.